Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Pastor Shores, and welcome to everyone else here, and to those of us, those of you, I should say, who are joining us via internet. Welcome to worship this morning. Some of us are happy about daylight saving time. Some of us would rather be in Arizona or Hawaii, where they do not change their clocks. So. Mm-hmm. I have about three announcements this morning. First of all, special thanks to the praise band for jumping into even more responsibility this morning, as we were unable to have Julie Jones with us today. And I am happy to report that next week, not only do we get to have Pastor Shores back, but we also get to have his wife Barbie come to play with our praise band next week. We are looking forward to having both of you with us for our service next week. Several weeks ago, the church council had instituted the practice of passing the peace, but they decided at their meeting last Tuesday night that we will disband that practice due to the cold and flu season. And one more thing, there has been a little challenge with the screens lately, but that has been determined, the problem has been determined, and that has been fixed. Band. Let's stand and sing.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
There is a saying, continue to do something poorly until you can learn to do it well. Sometimes it's hard for us to admit that we do something well. One of the reasons we come to worship is to relax and lose ourselves in the grace of our Savior. Turning everything over to Him may not be something we're good at, But we all must remember that God has given us all the emotions we experience, and that He is there with us to help us deal with each thing that causes us to experience those emotions. I sometimes think of God as the grandfather who has his face right up against the window, just waiting for the children he loves to arrive, to hold them close, comfort them, and teach them whatever it is that they need. He welcomes us to come to Him today and every day in worship. He blesses us. May we bless Him.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you.
Responsive reading from Psalm 5, a song of David. Give your ear to my words, O Lord.
Consider my sighing.
Listen to my cry for help.
My King and my God.
For to you I pray.
In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice.
In the morning, I lay my requests before you.
And wait in expectation.
But I, in your great mercy, will come into your house.
In reverence, I will bow down toward your holy temple. Please join me in prayer. Our Father, as we continue to worship you in the present, in this season of Lent, we also praise you for the possibilities you hold for us for the future. Although we don't know exactly what that is, we trust you in your plan for us. Thank you, Father, for all the people who continue to keep our congregation strong together. Providing music and technology, folding bulletins, serving snacks and soup suppers, praying, fixing what's broken, bringing us your messages, and especially being here to join each other in worship. Lord, we pray that you will help us to see and do your will as we wait. In your name, we come to you. Amen.
Morning, everyone. As usual, it's good to be back here to share with you. I get to be here 2 weeks in a row, so I decided to do a little mini sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer. In fact, this church, I think almost every Sunday, they will recite the Lord's Prayer. So it's something we're familiar with and something that'll kind of help us maybe think a little bit more about the Lord's Prayer. A lot of times we pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you sometimes pray the Lord's Prayer and it's just, you're not really thinking of what you're saying? How many have ever done that? Am I the only one? A few others, yeah. And so, you know, that's okay. I mean, we get caught up, our minds get caught up in other things, but maybe today it'll help us really learn what the Lord's Prayer means a little bit more today and next week. And so it'll be a lot of fun to do that. But we would all like to know how to pray. In fact, I think about my first time. Now, I was raised Catholic, so we had the Catholic prayers, and they were kind of rote, and there was not a lot of thought put into prayer as me as a young man. So I remember when I was with, I was a part of a ministry, Christian, it wasn't the Catholic Church, it was a church that was more Protestant, and we're in a circle, and there's a bunch of guys in there, and they said, let's pray. And they got into this big circle, and they started to pray. And they were going to go around the circle. And I had never ever prayed out loud other than being at church and praying kind of a rote prayer that I already knew. And I was so afraid of that prayer. Anybody ever felt that way? Raise your hand. Just be honest. Yeah. And I thought, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And these guys are all, you know, about my age, and they're praying these beautiful prayers, and I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to say? And so I made it through that time, and I did say something. I think the Lord was having a lot of fun watching. But it was kind of the beginning of my journey. You know, I had just given my life to Jesus Christ. I kind of was, most of my life, just going along the religious pathway, and then God built a relationship with me, and so that was my first experience. And it wasn't the Lord's Prayer, but it was something that I always, and then after that I thought, I got to learn how to do this. How do you do this? And I realized, and I was told, that you're just talking to God just like you're talking to somebody else, you know, with reverence and respect and so forth. But we'd all like to know how to pray better. I've heard many Christians say, I just don't feel comfortable praying out loud. In fact, there's been Bible studies where we've said, you know, if you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're in a group and you don't want to do that, that's fine. Nobody's trying to catch you in doing anything or seeing. And I always think, well, why is that? Why do we worry about what do people think what we're praying? I think it's because we think we have to perform in front of people, because God doesn't care at all how we pray. He just wants us to have a relationship with Him and to pray with Him. Or maybe you feel inadequate when you pray. I would say that's fair. It's fair. I think maybe some people feel that way. And I think it's this performance anxiety that we live with and so forth. Or I just can't, some people say, I just can't seem to say the right words when I pray. So I just listen to others when they pray, and I'm just so impressed with what they say. Well, today I would hope, and next week I would hope, that we can gain some confidence and some knowledge on how God wants us to pray. So first of all, we're not the only ones who felt inadequate when they prayed. Now, the apostles felt the same way. I mean, they're the ones that spent time with Jesus. And maybe they heard Him pray and thought, oh, I could never do that. But the apostles felt the same way. That's why one of the apostles asked Jesus to teach them to pray. I'm going to read Luke 11:1. I think it's in your program there. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When He finished, one of the disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now the apostles, now these are the ones that were chosen by Jesus. These are the ones that saw the potential that these would be the leaders of the early church. The apostles wanted to know how to pray. Does that surprise you at all? It does surprise me, because they don't just come and know Jesus in a personal way, but not ever really meeting Him personally. They actually met Him personally, but they felt inadequate. They felt ill-prepared. They felt unequipped. And I think maybe some of us here today have felt the same way. And some of us have been Christians for a long time, and yet we still feel a little bit under par when it comes to prayer. Jesus also saw that these people needed some direction on how to pray. So let me just read to you, and you can read along with me. This comes out of Matthew 6:5. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, one of the greatest sermon, I wouldn't say one of, probably the greatest sermon ever preached, is the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. This is what it says. And this is Jesus says this. He says, when you pray, now listen to this, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of the many words that they use. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors or people who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. Now, that's a great prayer. Systematically, functionally, the way it's laid out, it's a great prayer. It's a model prayer. It's the one that Jesus gave us. It's a model prayer for us to follow. And we want to thank Jesus for that. So I'm just going to pray and thank him right now for that prayer. Jesus, thank you for giving us direction. You care about us. You want us to communicate with you. You want us to have a relationship with you. And so you've given us the model prayer. So we thank you for that. You loved us enough to give us kind of an idea of what prayer looks like and how we should pray. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do you learn from this prayer? Well, we know that, or what do we learn from this prayer? We know that we're not supposed to be like the hypocrites who stand on the street corners so that they can be seen and admired by others. Now, in our world today, we don't see a lot of people that do that kind of thing. But maybe you have had an experience where someone is just trying to, you know, kind of get attention and so forth by praying in that way. This kind of prayer is obviously not a healthy model of prayer. Today we don't see, like I said, too many people praying on street corners or admired by others, but there are people who pray to impress others. And I've seen that in church board meetings. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I've seen how people are just like, they're just praying and praying and praying. It's like, okay, you lost me at Dear Jesus, you know, because they just went off on some tangent. Another thing that happens in prayer, and I'm guilty of this, is sometimes I kind of joke a little bit in prayers. Like sometimes I'll pray for my meal and it's pizza. And I say, Lord, you're going to have to do a miracle on this pizza, but could you please turn this pizza into, you know, protein and, you know, whatever, something that's healthy for my body. So, yeah, and so maybe I do that to get a joke to the people that I'm with as I'm praying with them. Maybe that's not such a great idea. But I think sometimes we pray to impress other people. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, we need to be careful of this because we're not praying to each other. We're praying to God, Almighty God. We're praying to him. And we're lifting up our voice to him and having a conversation with him. I remember, I've always been, as a pastor, I've always made sure that I teach the 5th and 6th graders in the church. And you say, what? Why would you want to do that? Well, 5th and 6th grade is one of the most formidable years spiritually for a child. Because they're at a place where they're literally, in those 2 years, are forming their faith. When we do catechism classes or whatever, there's other names for that, confirmation classes, starting in 7th grade, sometimes that doesn't work really well because the kids have already decided what they believe. This is all done through research and so forth. So 5th and 6th graders are more impressionable. They're more moldable in 5th and 6th grade. And so I've always taught that 5th and 6th grade class because I teach them doctrine. They don't, that's what you get in your confirmation classes and catechism classes, stuff like that. But I think it's too late to wait till they're 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, because they've already kind of decided what they're going to do. And so they didn't know I was teaching them doctrine, because before that, from their little age all the way up to 4th grade, they've heard nothing but Bible stories. And so they got the Bible stories, but they don't know how that fits into, how does that fit doctrinally, or what do we believe, and what are some of the things that we believe? And so I've always done that. Okay, why am I telling you all this? Because I used to ask the 5th and 6th graders, we talk about prayer. We talk about the importance of prayer. And kids would say, I don't want to pray because I don't want my friends to laugh at me. And I said, well, wait a minute, are you praying to them? Is that what this is all about? Oh, no, that's right. I guess we are praying to God, but I still feel that I need to impress my friends with what I'm going to say. So this is ingrained in us to maybe want to say things to impress other people. Now, I don't want to freak anybody out, because next time you pray, you're going to go, oh, am I trying to pray to Jesus or am I trying to impress everyone? Don't go there. Just, you know, think about it, ponder it, wrestle with it. And then when you pray, make sure that you're praying to God. From this passage, we learn that God wants us to go to our rooms in private and close the door and pray to our Father. Do you remember the movie, The Prayer Room? How many remember that? Or was that the name of it? What was it called? It was called The Prayer Room. Okay. And it was and the lady actually had in her closet, she set up her closet, and that's where she prayed. She had a chair in there and a Bible and a kneeling bench, and she would cry out to God in that, behind those closed doors. And I think that's the model. That's Jesus' word saying you should go in private and pray. And you know, the reason I think that that's what he wants us to do is because then we're not tempted to try to impress everyone. But we have an opportunity to actually pray to God in the private, by ourselves, with only you and him in that process. So how can we practically do this? Sorry, there's no easy answers. I have no tidbits for you or how this is going to happen. You're just going to have to do it. You're going to have to push through it and make it happen. I know my wife, Barbie, has different ways that she does that. She actually goes into, we don't have a big enough closet in our new house, but we used to have a closet where we actually, that's where she would go for her prayer time. It doesn't have to be a closet, you know, you're in your house, you could just create some space to do that wherever you're going to do that. But what she would do is she would say, okay, on Mondays she would pray for all the pastors and missionaries that she knew of in her life. And then on Tuesday, she would pray for the pastor's wives and the ministry, the children's ministries in the city. And then on Wednesdays, she'd come up with some other kind of thing. And she just would kind of systematically, you can write it down, you know, whatever you want to pray for. And then she would do that. And then she would pray for our family another day. And she'd pray for relatives another day. And so every day she would have something that would help her focus on prayer. Because don't you find sometimes that when you go to pray, your prayer time only lasts about 30 seconds, and you've already prayed quite a bit, or maybe a minute, or maybe a minute and a half, and you're like, okay, I'm done. But there's so many things that we could do. I think prayer is such an engine that God has given us to fire up and to help the ministry continue. You know, your missionaries here at the church, your search committee that's looking for a pastor to, I mean, there's so many things to pray for. The Bible conference, put that on your list and pray for us in that way. So there's no easy answers, but I would say that you just got to make a plan and go into the private, wherever that's at, and to pray. Set aside a time and a place to privately pray to our Almighty God. I always say this, because this will also build your relationship with God. This is not something just to do, is kind of another thing to check off. This actually builds your relationship with God. And so I always tell people to find a place, find a time. Number one, find a time, find a place, and find a person. And what does that mean? Find a time that you're going to do it every day. Make it a kind of a routine, a habit that you do it every day, whatever it is, it's your time. If it's in the evening, do it in the evening. If it's in the morning, do it in the morning. You're not trying to impress anyone. Just find a time, then find a place. Make kind of a nice place with maybe a chair or a kneeling bench or something that you want to just have. So find a place and then find a person. Why do I say that? Find a person that will hold you accountable. Not in a way that they're going to say, did you do your prayer time today? But to say, hey, how was your prayer time today? How'd that go? What are you praying about these days? So it's more life-giving, but a person that would help you, because what you know what happens, human nature is we'll forget to do it. You know, we'll do it for 20 days in a row, and we'll forget to do it, and then we'll forget for another 20 days, and oh yeah, I remember I used to pray every day and so forth. So find a time, find a place, find a person. We also see in this passage that God doesn't want us to babble on like pagans. I have a few examples of that where I've been to like these bigger events, like where there's multiple churches at these events, and I've seen people, and unfortunately it causes you to judge a little bit, but where people will stand in front of the whole group and like everybody's praying, and all of a sudden this guy starts praying or this gal starts praying, and they're praying and whatever, loud and obnoxious, and it's disrupting everybody, and it's like, well, why are you doing that? And it, you know, it doesn't work. I have one specific example where I was at a Promise Keepers event. I think it was in Oakland, California. And we were in the stadium. So it was in the big stadium. There was like, I don't know, 50,000 people at this stadium. And they were from all kinds of backgrounds and faith. And this one guy from more of a demonstrative type of church was standing up. And he was not only praying, but he was like spinning. And he was talking to the crowd. And and it really bothered me. Would that bother you? It kind of bothered me. At first I thought, boy, this guy's really on fire for Jesus. And then I thought, wait a minute. I don't know if I've been to the circus in a while, but this is probably what the circus would be like. And I started to it really pressed in on me. And I thought, Lord, what is that all about? And then I read this scripture and I thought, oh, that's probably what Jesus was talking about. You know, if it's making everybody upset, is that really what God wants you to do in a situation like that? God doesn't want us to pray in that way, not as pagans pray, but rather he wants us to go into a private place and to express ourselves to him. Then Jesus says that we should pray like this. He starts this model prayer by saying the Lord's Prayer. And he starts off by saying, Our Father in heaven. Can you say that? Now, sometimes we say, Our Father who art in heaven. But in the scripture here, it says, Our Father in heaven. And then we think to ourselves, Our Father, huh? That's interesting. Have you ever thought about that? Why do we pray to our Father? Do you know that in the early, when this Jesus instituted this prayer, it would have been completely 100% unusual and different than anything that they'd ever done before. They would have never prayed to God as their Father. They would have prayed to him as the king. There would have been other titles that they would have given him, but not as the Father. It was kind of a new concept. Why would Jesus want us to address God as our Father? The opening words, Our Father, indicates the attitude in which prayer should be offered to God. An attitude that not only expresses faith in him, but also expresses love towards him as our Father. The phrase, Our Father in heaven, indicates that God is not only majestic and holy, but he's also personal and loving. There you have it. What Jesus was saying, that our relationship to my Father in heaven and to the God of this universe is personal. It's a relationship. And before it was more of a religion where you kind of did your stuff and you followed the law and you did all these kinds of things. And then Jesus says, I want to show you that this is personal. God wants to be in a relationship with you personally. Not just as Harbor of Joy, like, oh, I love Harbor of Joy. No, everyone in Harbor of Joy, he wants to have a relationship with. This is a model prayer that encourages a close relationship with God. This is, like I said, this is also a whole new idea, praying to Almighty God as our Father. You see, by praying to our Father, this indicated, like I said, a loving relationship to God. This indicated that we were talking to Dad. Now, for some people, that doesn't have a good connotation. Maybe you didn't have a great relationship with your dad, which is okay because now you can have a relationship with the greatest dad ever. In fact, the word that Jesus used was the word Abba. You've heard that word before, right? Can you just say it over and over again? Just say it. Abba, 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 Abba. Do you know what little children will do when they're developing and they start to form their first words? They say two things. They'll say Abba, Abba. They'll use the B, 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 Abba, Abba, Abba sound. And they'll also say da, 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 da. Isn't that interesting? So the first words that children will, and nobody trains children to do that. It's just the way it is. It's a personal thing. I remember when my kids were, you know, younger and so forth, and they would call me daddy. Oh my gosh, it lit my heart up like nothing would ever light my heart up. And when they call me daddy, they don't call me daddy anymore, they call me dad. It just means so much to me. I feel so close to them when you hear that name. Any other fathers feel the same way? Go ahead. Anyone? One, two, three, it's okay. You love hearing that name. Therefore, when we address God, we can address him in a sense of relationship. A close relationship allowing us to address God as daddy. Now, I don't want to be silly, so I'm not, you know, so if you're in a prayer time and you start saying daddy, you know, I know you're not trying to impress other people, but they might think you're off your rocker by saying daddy to God. But, you know, if you want to do it and that's how close you are to God, go ahead and do it. I love when I hear my kids say daddy. And I really believe that God loves when he hears us call him father. I do. We're created in God's image. I believe just like we get the same emotions, I think God has those same emotions when we address him as our father. So when you say our father in the Lord's Prayer, don't just run over that word. And know that you're talking to the Father of Heaven, Daddy, Abba. It draws us closer to him. When we address God as Daddy, as our father, I'm sure that this warms the heart of God. Well, I have a question. And this is more, kind of think about this, just personally think about this. Do you feel that your relationship with God is so close that you can address God as daddy or as father? Maybe today you feel sort of far away from God and you're just here. You're wondering when I'm going to get done talking. Or maybe some of you don't feel comfortable addressing God as Father. A lot of men will say, you know, the big man upstairs, you know, or the big kahuna in the skies, you know, whatever. But he's our Father. He's our Daddy. Maybe some of you look at God as some foreign, outside, benevolent being that every once in a while would like to hear our prayers. So how can you get closer to God? The only way to get closer to God is to spend time with him. The only way to get closer to your spouse is to spend time with your spouse. If you don't spend any time with your spouse, you're probably not going to have very much of a relationship. So spend time with God. Carve out some time every day. Maybe it's in that same time in your house or you're in your private time. Talk to him and pray from your heart. Be honest with your feelings. Let him know how you feel and listen to him. Really listen. See, part of the problem with our prayer life is that we ought to have a prayer life that also includes a listening life. Because I do believe that God does answer our prayers. And I've always told people, when you're done praying, always look at what happens next. You'd be surprised how many times that God answers prayers right away. But see, we get done with the prayer time and then we get on to something else. And we don't really see God's hand. We don't see him answering those prayers. There's no easy answers. The answer is you spend time with him. It takes time. It takes time to build that relationship with God. Spend time with him and you'll get to know him better. And someday you will feel so close to God that maybe you will address him as Father or as Daddy or as Abba. So that's the first part. Our God in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. And then it says, hallowed be thy name. Can you say that? Not only does Jesus show us how to have a closer relationship with our Father, he also shows us to express our admiration and our reverence to God by honoring his holy name, by honoring him. So it's not like, hey, Dad, how you doing today? You know, it's, Dad, you're so holy. Hallowed be your name. You're the highest name of all. You're the greatest in the universe. You're the one that created me. You're the one that walks with me every day. You're the one that's transformed my life. Hallowed be your name. I believe that this phrase, hallowed be your name, is a key, is the key in building your relationship with God. Not just the Father part, but also the honoring his name, honoring who he is. Because another great way to mature in your relationship with him is by expressing yourself to him. God wants us to know all of his names. All of his names of honor. All of his nicknames. All of his names that describe God. All of his names that describe his character. Now, I want to tell you a story. Anybody know the Bible study Experiencing God? Anybody ever heard of it? Or maybe some of you have gone through it. Well, if you've gone through it, you'll know this is true. As I was going through this Bible study, and I've gone through it like three times now, called Experiencing God, one of the chapters talks about the importance of the name, of the names of God, the Hebrew names of God, or the Hebrew mindset of who God is. The Hebrew names describe a person, a character, a person's character or responsibility, you know. So there's different characters that their names were changed because God said, they used to be called, like an example is Jacob. Remember the Old Testament? I think I might have preached on that one here, Jacob. Well, his name was like cheater. That's what it meant. You know, he was a manipulator. That's what his name meant. And then God changed his name to Israel. And so the Hebrew names describe the character of that person or the personality of that person. And so God's name is majestic and worthy of praise. Acknowledging God's name is to recognize who God is and what his names represent. Calling on his name indicates you are seeking his presence. Hallowed be your name, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Calling on the names of God can become a powerful and a time, a great powerful time of worship for us. Honoring God by calling on his names is life-changing. Now follow me. The assignment in this Bible study said to take time, just sit down and read the names of God. We're going to spend the rest of our time worshiping God just by reading his names. Now in the book, there are 343 names for God. Can you imagine? Did you know that? I had to look this back up because I thought that's way too many names. But no, in the book, it actually shows you 343 names for God. Names like Lord of all the earth. Can you say that? Lord of all the earth. Just ponder that for a moment. Lord of all the earth. What does that mean? What does that say? What does that help your mind think about when you think of God? Lord of all the earth. Lord Almighty. Lord God Almighty. Now, don't repeat all of them. Because you'll start going, you'll be like my fifth and sixth graders, and they'll start repeating for the next week everything you say. Anyway, Lord God Almighty, helper of the fatherless, our refuge and our strength. Listen to these words. Great and awesome God, my comforter in sorrow. The only wise God, great and awesome God, him who keeps you from falling. My hiding place, my support, the compassionate and gracious God. And it goes on and on and on. Some of you might even have one of those little posters that have, it probably doesn't have 343 names, but it has probably 50, 60 different names for God. I got to tell you that when I went through that time, And I'm not sure how long it lasted, but when I went through that time, something happened in my heart. I mean, I was in tears thinking of this great, majestic, hallowed, holy God that cared about my life and that loved me. I got to tell you, something happened. I was moved as I read through the different names of God. I was overwhelmed at his character and his personality. I was able to praise his holy name. I was able to say, "Hallowed be your name," like I'd never done it before. And so today we have an opportunity. We'll recite the Lord's Prayer later, and you'll have an opportunity to kind of think through that. Hallowed be thy name. I'd like to encourage everyone to learn more about God by just learning his names. You don't have to buy a poster. Just get on your computer and Google it. Names of God. All the names of God, and you'll have a whole list. So we can know his character, his nature, and his personality. So repeat after me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, stop. The phrase "your kingdom come" is a reference to God's spiritual reign. And some of us think that that's something that's down here somewhere, his spiritual reign. Let me tell you what, we don't have to wait. It's already here. The kingdom is already here. God's kingdom was announced in the covenant of Abraham. In Matthew 8, it kind of goes over this. It says that I say to you that many of you will come from the east and the west and will take his places at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom is present in Christ's reign in believers' hearts now. We don't have to wait for anything. If you hang around with me long enough, you'll hear me talking about the kingdom all the time. It's all for the kingdom. This is for the kingdom of God. Why do I do this? It's because this is what God wants us to do in his kingdom. Luke 17:21 says, "Nor will they say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom is within you." It's already here. So don't think you got to wait till heaven to experience the kingdom of God. Now, I know that this smelly earth that we live on right now is really hard to believe that, because it's hard. It's hard to know that this is the kingdom of God. But when you center yourself around what I'm talking about today and what God is doing and what he's up to doing and what he will continue to do in your life and in your church and in your community, you will understand that he's already here. His kingdom has already been established. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are praying that God's kingdom would come, but we also know that it's here. We don't have to wait for it. We're also praying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So basically, this means that we're praying for God's will. That's what that means. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're praying for God's timing. You're praying for God's plan. You're praying for God's ideas. Remember when Jesus prayed in the garden, "My Father," again, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, but not my will, but what? Yours be done." It's the same thing. It's the same idea. "Not my will, Lord, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In other words, God wants us to submit to him and to submit to his plan, his complete will, his impeccable timing, his perfect plan, and his flawless ideas. That's what God wants. "Not my will, but yours be done." How many of you live your life that way? Every once in a while, yeah, we kind of kick in. But I'll encourage you to think about that. When you're saying the Lord's Prayer and you're saying those words about "my kingdom come," or "your kingdom come, your will be done," just know that that's something you're praying for. You're praying for God's will, not your ideas, but God's ideas. The way we do that is through total obedience and submission to God. See, like I said, no easy answers. You just got to submit, right? We get led off in our own ideas all the time, or what other people say, or we think about what's going on in our culture. We need to think more about God than anything. God's the one that's going to direct our path. We just need to incorporate a lifestyle that is compliant with God's call and His will. We must pray that God's will is done and in His perfect time, and then be obedient to wait for His perfect will. Now, we might submit to His will, but we have a hard time waiting for it. Like, any day now, Lord, you know? So I think that happens, at least it happens in my life. We must pray that God's will is done in His perfect time, and then be obedient to wait on His perfect will. So in review, and we're done now, in review, our Father in heaven, Daddy, we want to grow closer to you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise your name. We worship your greatness through your names and all your holy names, and it helps us grow closer to you. So hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. We desire that your kingdom be established and set up, and we can and know that it's here now. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you have your way. Your will is complete. Your timing is impeccable. Your plans are perfect, and your ideas are flawless. So that's the first half of the Lord's Prayer. Next week, we'll take on the second half of the Lord's Prayer. So let me just pray, and then I'll turn it over to Becky. Lord, thank you for this time where we can just ponder these words of the Lord's Prayer. I hope that these words would be like seeds in our hearts, that you would help us take these very simple concepts and help them build us up as we live our lives, but also as we pray the Lord's Prayer, or we have our own prayers that have that same cadence of what you are calling us to do in prayer, as Jesus taught us to pray. So Lord, we thank you. I pray that my friends here will wrestle with these things and ponder them and think about them even more, and not just today, but throughout the rest of the week. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. And so let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And let's stand as we repeat the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect submission, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. If he's purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done.
And our benediction this morning is another Psalm of David, part of the 23rd Psalm. This is so very familiar to us, showing God as a caring shepherd and a dependable guide. So let's read this together, these powerful words of encouragement and reassurance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.